At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Accelerate to attack speed.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
The Force is strong in this one.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good, you are here. Mark, I'm here.
And, Mark is here.
What are we doing?
We are talking and singing.
Oh, no singing.
We're not singing.
But no, literally, what are we doing? This is a brand new podcast.
This is a new podcast. And we're going to talk about cleaning products and how they can better your life and maybe your partner's life, that special person in your life.
That's a special kind of cleaning.
Yeah, who lets you tickle them in special places that other people can't tickle them because it's a felony.
But in reality, though, we are bringing you a brand new podcast spinning off from... We are, of course, from Rebel Radio, and we are spinning off from that in a way... We're bringing you a Star Wars podcast.
That's right.
The greatest film saga of all time. And we're doing this because we love Star Wars. And last year we did a series of episodes called The Road to the Force Awakens, and people responded to them.
Yes.
They seemed to do very well. For about a year now, we've been talking, Matt, like, man, we should do a Star Wars podcast.
We've been dabbling in the talk.
We weren't sure when to start it, and we figured with Rogue One a month away... Today, the day you're listening to this, we're a month away from Rogue One.
That's right.
We thought that's the perfect time. And, of course, the name of the show, as you see when you click the title on your little iPod or whatever you're listening to us on, Stitcher, iTunes, we're both there. We're on the same RSS feed as Rebel Radio. And you can find us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And we are, of course, Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast.
That's right. We are what's left of the good fight.
Right. And we the title is kind of reminiscent of... Like you said, what's left of the good fight in the Star Wars universe, and we're going to be talking Star Wars history, things that have happened in Star Wars, whether it be action figures or toys. Well, I guess those are the same thing.
Yeah.
Books, well, novels, comics.
Maybe the 12-inch toys are action figures, and then like the toys are like just the 5-inch figures.
Right. Movies, TV series, things that have happened in Star Wars universe throughout time. We're going to bring you different stories from those, different ideas, talk about different topics. Like, for example, here in a little bit today, our first topic we're talking about is Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, the famous or infamous, I guess, multimedia project back from 1996.
That's right.
But so why Star Wars, you ask? And, well, of course, the website is TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, which is not just a Star Wars website. We cover... all things from the genre, whether it be comic book movies, things that are related
animation,
on there.
Animation, Rebels, you know, Rebels is for adults too.
Right.
You know.
And so, but it's inspired by Star Wars, as is Rebel Radio. So Remnants of Rebellion, we thought, man, let's do a Star Wars podcast and hopefully bring people something different. And to introduce ourselves, of course, my name is Mark, if you're not familiar with me from Rebel Radio, and I've created TrustMeI'mAJedi.com and been doing that for a while. It's all amateur. We're not professionals.
Yep.
Even the website, everything. We do it for fun and hobby. We have day jobs and children and things we do during the day.
We squeeze this in for you guys.
We do this because we love to do it. We really do enjoy podcasting. We've been podcasting about 3 years now, almost.
Yeah.
Two and a half years. It's amazing it's been that long. And so we've decided to do a new show for you guys, and we hope that you enjoy it. And I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan. To age myself, I'm 40, so I grew up in the Star Wars era.
Oh, yeah.
Big time Star Wars collector. I've got thousands of action figures and comics and toys and getting into some of the pop vinyls and things like that. The computer desk here where we record has Star Wars things around it, you know. Oh, yeah.
For inspiration.
Yeah. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. I love Star Wars. And Matt, you're Star Wars. You introduce yourself. I'm just over here talking.
Yeah, so I was born, you know, right after the original movies came out. But fortunately, you know, and I always saw the toys, you know, laying around because my uncle is your age, and he was like a big brother to me.
We're old bastards.
Yeah, but the good kind of old. 40s was a good age to come into because you came into Star Wars and everything that George Lucas, you know, had up boggled in his mind. You got to, you know, experience that firsthand. Whenever they were first released. And then, so, you know, in the 90s, the special editions came out, and my uncle took me to see them one by one. and I liked him. I liked him a lot. You know, that was my first introduction to him, and from then on, I was hooked. You know, the prequels, you know, and going back and rewatching the original trilogy, and then rewatching the prequels, and then now, you know, we have the new, you know, anthology series coming out, and we have a new trilogy of Star Wars that our children will grow up with, and a new generation will come out with, and you know, it'll start this cycle all over again.
And who knows what beyond that with Disney.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and you were talking about the prequels real quick. This is a show where I don't think you'll hear a lot of prequel bashing, because I don't think we hate them. We respect Star Wars for what it is. You might hear an episode down the line, already talked about doing how we would have done the prequels differently.
Definitely.
I think we'll talk about that one time. And but you know, do you have a favorite Star Wars character?
I really like Anakin. I think, like, and not, you know, well, I guess you could loop Darth Vader in there, but I like the talented, high expectation, troubled kid that, you know, was a slave to his emotions, and that battle that he had going on. And of course, you know, we all know how he, you know, was misguided.
So is that how your wife treats you in the bedroom? Slave to your emotions?
I know, right? Do it.
That's an interesting choice for you. I've always liked Han Solo, and I think it's because he's that guy I wanted to be. I wanted to be the smuggler who just grabs a girl and kisses her and runs away. The bad boy.
Smooth,
I was never a bad boy. I'm a nice guy. I don't even want to step on a worm. You know, it's just me. But so I guess I wanted to be that bad guy, that Han Solo type. Not really bad in the sense that he doesn't have a moral compass, but just, you know, that. You know, he's John Travolta in Grease.
He really is.
Yeah, he gets away with what he wants to get away with, but yet he's going to do the right thing in the end.
Yeah, in the end, he's going to get the girl that kissed her brother. You know?
Right.
And he's like, no, 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 that's not right. You're supposed to be kissing me, the scruffy nerf herder.
So it's interesting. We both picked unconventional choices. A lot of people watch Star Wars, and they're going to say, well, I love Luke, or I love Darth Vader.
Or Boba Fett.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and we both have kind of unconventional. I think Han would probably be up there on some list, but
most people
are going to say Luke and Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Boba Fett or Yoda, you know, one of those guys.
Someone with a lightsaber, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So we both picked kind of unconventional. Well, Anakin did have a lightsaber, but he's still unconventional in the fact that he turns evil.
Right, and a lot of people will refer to Anakin as Darth Vader. And, you know, if they're talking about Anakin, they're talking about Darth and the apparatus and the...
Yeah. So, what was your first Star Wars toy? Do you remember?
Ooh. I want to say it was a Darth Vader. Darth Vader
eventually
toy.
We're probably going to do a whole episode on Star Wars collecting, but, you know, we're getting people to know us here.
Yeah, because whenever they re-released the figures, I want to say they were like $4 at Walmart back in the day. And I want to say it was a Darth Vader. I had a Luke Skywalker pilot, Rebel pilot, which I love that suit, especially when he was armed with a lightsaber, and a Jawa. I think I had a Jawa toy, which uneventful. Jawas are cool. They kind of, you know, they're kind of like the minions of the Star Wars world. You know, you can't really understand what they're saying, and it's kind of cute in a way. And they're a little mentally challenged. I don't want to say retarded, but they kind of come off like that to me. Like, oh, you know, this droid has a bad motivator. What are you trying to do? Like, oh, TD.
Being that I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan, you would think I would have a favorite toy. It's a classic. And I guess if I had to pick one that was a classic toy, any of my original figures I have. And I really love my Burger King glasses collection. I have all 12 of the Burger King glasses. They're not toys, but it's one of my favorite clothes. But honestly, my favorite toy I have is what I got this year on my 40th birthday that my wife gave me. She gave me the Sphero BB-8 droid, the one that works with the app, and it's an incredible toy. It's sitting right up here on the desk charging while we record. And it is honestly, I told my wife, she said, are you serious? Just your favorite toy? I said, yes, that's the favorite, best Star Wars toy I've ever been given in my whole fucking life. And it is my favorite toy.
That is awesome. You know?
Oh, I just dropped the F-bomb. Yes, this is a podcast. We're not always going to be PC.
Be careful about that passion, because it leads to the dark side.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, because we've been friends a long time, and you're one of my best friends, and Frank, who does Rebel Radio, is, you guys are my best friends. That's why we do this, too. We also record to hang out with our best friends, because it gives us an excuse to let our wives let us hang out together.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know me a long time. You have any Star Wars questions you ever wanted to ask me?
Man, who's your favorite Sith? I mean, everyone has a favorite nemesis, right? And I know you love Jedi, and if you could, you'd be a Jedi, not a Sith. Who is your favorite nemesis?
Yeah, you know, again, one thing about the prequels that I was really impressed with was Darth Maul.
Yes.
I really, as much as we want to knock on Jar Jar or Jake Lloyd's acting in Phantom Menace, guy looks freaking cool. The double-bladed saber, the jumping around, yeah, the fight's a little over-choreographed, but it's still cool as shit. It's one of the best parts of the Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like Maul. And I know people like Darth Nihilus and people that appeared in the Knights of the Old Republic games and things like that. And I enjoy the spinoff characters from the Legends universe, things like that. But I really like the characters that truly exist in the universe, that are in the films or the cartoons, that are really a true part of continuity, you know? And I think that's why I lean towards Darth Maul. And I know the easy pick, a lot of people love Vader, and I like Vader too, but Darth Maul is such a badass in a short time, and it's a shame they killed him in Phantom Menace. And again, that'll come another time when we talk about what we would have done with the prequels differently.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Maul staying alive is definitely one of them.
Definitely.
Even though technically he's back alive in continuity, you know?
Give Ray Parker another contract and bring him into
episode 2. I lean towards Maul as my favorite nemesis. And again, an unconventional choice. I could have said, as far as favorite bad guy, I think it's easy to say Boba Fett, but you asked me favorite Sith.
Yes.
And it's specifically Darth Maul.
Heck yeah. I specifically wanted to get someone with Force powers out of you.
Good question. And, you know, as we move forward from The Force Awakens into Episode 8 and 9, maybe Kylo moves forward. But, you know, they've alluded to the fact, is Kylo so much Sith, or is he just a user of the dark side? Because they don't use the word Sith ever in The Force Awakens.
That's right.
You know, he formed these Knights of Ren or whatever. So, what is he truly? We'll find out, I guess.
And I've heard these theories where they say, you know, what if he is doing this to get close to Snoke?
Yeah, I've heard of the theories too. You know, and obviously he's Han's son. That's spoiler, but everyone knows that by now. And, he's conflicted, obviously, I think, still. So where will they go with Kylo? We'll see. Maybe in time he becomes my favorite. And he'd probably be even a close second right now.
Probably my favorite lightsaber. At first, when I saw that cross hilt,
right,
I'm like, what the heck is this thing, man?
I still that's your favorite lightsaber. That's a good question. To answer that for me, and you know the answer to this, but people don't, I still will always love, when I saw Return of the Jedi in the theaters, and Luke gives a tip to R2-D2, and he jumps down. The green lightsaber came on. As a 8-year-old boy, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, a green lightsaber. It was so cool. The green color is still my favorite lightsaber to this day.
It does pop.
It can't beat. Even Kylo Ren's lightsaber can't beat it for me. I love Luke's green lightsaber, and I always will. And I remember when I was a kid, we had those lightsabers. Now they all light up and are electronic. We had the ones where you had the spin in the wind to make them make noise, and I always wanted a green Luke, and I don't think I ever got it.
Man.
Damn you, parents. You never got me the green Luke Skywalker lightsaber I wanted. But I had a lot of the cool Star Wars shit, so, you know, it worked out. And anything else that you think people need to know about us before we delve into the first full volume of topic of Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast? I had to give the official full title there.
Yeah, I know we want you guys to follow us, but shout out to the 501st. They do a lot of work. They're going to be doing a march during the Thanksgiving Day parade. And if you have an awesome cosplay, go to their site. You'll have to Google it. I don't know it off the top of my head. They have a Facebook page. It's pretty extenuous. You've got to be pretty on point with your cosplay.
Yeah, I have a friend, Brian, who's trying to get into it right now, and he's going through that motion of getting his costume approved.
That's why I mentioned it. Our last show, you know, he reached out to me, through Mark, and, you know, he was, you know, asking me about my cosplay stuff, and I'm like, well, I have a lot of Marvel cosplays, and I was like, I do have, you know, a Sith tunic, but it's not really up to par. It's not a 501st kind of thing, but it's good enough. And I do have an Ultra Saber. You know, that's one of my favorite little gadgets that I have. It just doesn't make any noise, because I was like, well, I can't spend $200 on a lightsaber. My wife will kill me. But he was showing me everything that they go through, and it is pretty extenuous. That's why they look so good. Yeah,
he's a pretty good dude. He's a scruffy looking nerf herder, but he's a nice guy. And, so, man, that's two shows where I gave Brian a shout out. Man, that bitch owes me. No, I'm just kidding. So 501st does a lot of great charity work for people. A lot of great Star Wars charities around the world, of course. And real quick before we get into Shadows of Empire, besides being fans, it's just like, we've talked about this before, people listen to Rebel Radio. we felt it was a good time to do a Star Wars podcast because, one, yeah, there's tons of Star Wars stuff out there. I mean, you can go Google Star Wars on the internet. You'll find podcasts. You'll find fan art, fan things, whatever. But we just felt like, yeah, maybe there's oversaturation, but we just felt like it was the right time because we think Star Wars is bigger now than it ever has been before.
Oh, yeah.
Force Awakens almost made $1 billion at the U.S. box office. I think that shows how big Star Wars is. We mentioned the fact that Star Wars has become its own genre.
Yes.
It's above and beyond science fiction.
Religion, yeah. in Britain. Enough people, you know, registered in the census 2 years ago as Jedi for their religion, right, that it is actually a religion now.
That's awesome. That's why Star Wars. And it's just freaking cool, man. And I'm not going to dog any other franchise because I will mention Star Trek probably this only one time ever unless we ever do a Why Star Wars Better Than Star Trek show.
Yeah.
I enjoy Star Trek also. But Star Wars is always going to be my number one go-to franchise over anything else out there. Indiana Jones, James
Bond.
The other two I'm a big fan of is Indiana Jones and James Bond, but I still will take Star Wars over that any day. And that's why Star Wars. So we really hope you enjoy what we're going to bring you in Remnants of the Rebellion, and that was a little bit of intro for the show. And I think you'll get to know us more over the future. We'll
definitely
do a little mini interviews like that with each other, and if we ever have a guest on or whoever we decide to bring on in Remnants of the Rebellion. So now we're going to talk today is November 16th, 2016, 1 month before Star Wars Rogue One, or Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, whatever you want to call it, hits theaters. But it's also 20 years since Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. And in a nutshell... Oh, this is me in a nutshell. What is Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, Matt? Tell the people
that
may not know.
It is the events that occurred between Episode 5 and 6, and is a crusade to save Han, and it involves a whole other gang other than the Hutts. It involves the Black Sun, Zizer. Zizor. I keep
you said that wrong before.
To take out Darth Vader through the Black Sun and Zizor, and Luke being in between two entities. That one, you know, Vader, he wants him alive, of course, and Zizor, he wants him alive, as so he says, but he really wants him dead. So either way, you know, He's being sought after in a rough way, and Leia, she finds herself in a mix. She finds herself captured, and we have a new hero, Dash Rendar, and you know he's there to fill the hole that, you know, we don't have a smuggler. He steps up, and he's our smuggler. He's our guy, and you get to if you're playing the game and you know it through the game, you get to control him and battle through, save Luke, save Leia, and save Han, and you do get a nice cool ship.
so you gave people basically a little bit of a plot synopsis there.
Basic.
So yeah, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire took place in between Episode 5 and 6, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, like you said. And the whole idea in Shadows of the Empire was it was a multimedia project without the movie. They had a novel, junior novel, comics, toys,
everything,
other action figures. Trading cards,
yes,
a video game, and a bunch of other stuff. Basically, everything that you would release with a film, except for the film itself. Mm-hmm. And it was the first of its kind, in a way, for that multimedia project. It even had a trailer that aired on television or something, advertising a book coming out. And I have the narration from the trailer here that I'm going to read. And here it is. The trailer for Shadows of the Empire said this: when Luke Skywalker was most vulnerable, when a renegade hero became a friend in desperate need, and a dark villain faced his greatest challenge, when the Empire turned more and more to the forces of the Underworld moved in to crush the Empire and the Rebellion in a single stroke. After the Empire Strikes Back and before Return of the Jedi, there was a time when heroes and villains alike lived in the shadows of the Empire. Was I dramatic enough?
That was dramatic.
So it was really cool. I remember hearing about this coming out, and I was like, that's kind of a cool idea. And I remember picking up the novel and reading it. The novel was written by Steve Perry. And it, like you said, it introduced new elements to the Star Wars universe. We got to see Luke create his green lightsaber that I was excited about,
yes,
earlier in the book. And two major new characters were introduced, Prince Zizor and the Black Sun, and then Dash Rendar, of course, like you said. And... lots of other things came out. I remember there being a comic book series and a video game and trading cards. We're going to get all into those in a minute. Mm-hmm. Initially, your thoughts on this idea. Now, doing sequels and prequels to everything is no big deal. But back in 96, this was kind of an unheard type project.
Yeah, going and doing a in-between anthology type film. Was new. You had everything, all the elements surrounding a film, but not a film. It was new. It was the best thing that never happened.
Right. So it's funny, I forgot to mention, it even had a music soundtrack. The idea was to listen to it while you read the books or comics or whatever. And my memories of it, I remember reading the book, I remember reading the comics. I remember the comics being a little bit different. They had, it was more about the bounty hunters and their part in it, in between episode 5 and 6, and trying to chase Han down, who was frozen in carbonite, and Luke trying to get involved with them and stop them so that he could hatch this plan for him and Lando and Leia and everybody to end up at Jabba's palace. And it was Luke trying to get past those bounty hunters, because the bounty hunters are trying to go after Boba Fett to get Han from them, because they all want a piece of the pie.
Oh, yeah, they want the money.
So it was kind of an offshoot of the novel. It wasn't a direct adaptation of the novel. It was just kind of an additional story, you know. And then I remember they had trading cards, too, which would also told the story, which I think I have in a binder somewhere around here with all the Star Wars stuff. And the trading cards were artwork by Greg and Tim Hildebrandt, and they kind of told the story of Shadows of the Empire, too, through trading cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the action figures for
it. Oh, heck yeah. Because, you know, of course, at that time, I was playing heavily with toys, and I remembered the awesome Luke Imperial Guard armor. Well, a pseudo, like, Imperial Guard armor. It was a little different. It looked way cooler. It was like muscle type armor. It looked like, you know, red plate armor, and he had a staff, and I always thought that was cool.
Right.
That was one of my favorite things. They re-released a different Emperor, I believe, as well.
No, that was a different series of figures. I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This was they had a Leia Bush disguise, the Luke, a Dash figure, a Prince Caesar, a Chewbacca as a bounty hunter.
That's right.
It was only 5 or 6 figures. There might be one I'm forgetting, but those were the main 5 or 6. They had a swoop bike a swoop character. Then they had like a Zizor versus Darth Vader 2-pack, if I remember right. Even though Darth Vader never really... he does appear in Shadows in the novel very briefly. Because Prince Zizor hates Darth Vader. He wants to take him down and join the Emperor.
Yeah, he wants to be at the Emperor's
But Vader's
right
like, man, screw you, dude. You're not going to take my place, you know?
Heck yeah. He already knows what's going on.
Yeah. And there might be one other figure we're forgetting. But that was kind of cool. They did toys spin off of this. And I remember they had purple packaging in Shadows of the Empire. They even released the Slave 1 ship in Shadows of the Empire packaging.
I remember that.
And so you had these toys that went with this project, but yet there's no movie. There's just a novel and comics and video game. We're going to talk about the video game a little bit, because that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, back then. So do you remember owning any of the figures? I know I have them all.
I owned the Luke with the armor.
Yeah.
And I want to say that my cousin had Dash. I know my cousin had Dash Rendar. And I want to say I owned a swoop bike. And you know, I was supposed to be going through my attic today, and it would have been really cool if I would have passed up on some of those toys,
right?
Because I know they're up there. You know, I'm going through some stuff right now, and I'm trying to, you know, like stuff it in the house I'm moving into, and some of that stuff is, you know, it was my parents' house that I bought from them. You know, I don't want to get too personal, but you know, my toys are all upstairs. It's like, I found some of my Ghostbuster toys, so I know my Star Wars toys are in there. They might be a little sticky because it's hot in that attic. God
sure,
forbid.
Why they're sticky.
Yeah, that's why they're sticky. I'll stick to that. I really wish I would have went through there before this episode so I could go take a look. But, you know, tomorrow I'll probably swing by over there. I'm going to see if I can find that.
So these were the Star Wars action figures they released. They had a 2-pack of Boba Fett versus IG-88.
Okay.
Chewbacca as a bounty hunter.
Forget about IG-88.
Dash Rendar, Leia in her bush disguise, Luke is the guard, Prince Zizor, and a Zizor versus Vader 2-pack. Then the vehicles were the Dash Rendar ship, the Outrider, Slave 1, and then the swoop bike. And they also had Micro Machines, which have made a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Micro Machines are popular again.
Yeah.
They're real popular in the mid-90s. And they had several Micro Machines, and the Micro Machines included other characters in the playsets like the Emperor. So maybe you remember the Emperor being the Micro Machines.
Maybe.
You know, because those were, man, Micro Machines were super popular in the 90s. And now, like I said, they're making a comeback now.
Oh, yeah.
You can find them.
All those tracks that you had where you put the cars on, make them run over stuff. And
let's talk about, as far as a multimedia project, they had a soundtrack to it. It wasn't done by John Williams. They had asked John Williams to do it, but he politely turned them down. Mm-hmm. And they brought in a guy who I have the name in front of me. I'm just not finding it now. Oh, Joel McNeely. He did it. And it was inspired by actual Star Wars music, and it had all these other things. It had themes for all the characters, Dash Rendar, Prince Zizor, and all this, mm-hmm. the battles in the book. And it was like a movie soundtrack for a movie that didn't exist. And I don't know about you, but like, I don't know if I could get in and listen to the soundtrack or read a book.
No.
I guess people do, I'm sure.
That's like, I don't know what that would be like. Is that like... going skateboarding and then playing some kind of epic
right,
and you know, try and make it feel epic, trying to make what you're, whatever you're doing, be epic. I know there's got to be a term for that,
probably. So
and but I don't think I could, you know, if I'm reading something, I want to read with a little bit of silence. I can't have too much stuff going on or else I'll lose focus, and then I'll end up with a bowl of nachos and a beer watching some random guilty pleasure flick on TV.
Sure, or porno.
Or porn, yeah.
So, you know, so the comic and the novel and the figures, that wasn't strange. It was trading cards. But they also had statuettes for this that were done. That's kind of an interesting item to put out for a multimedia project. Yeah, and I read statuettes, model kits.
Oh, okay.
You know, I remember seeing a model of the Outrider you could buy.
I want to say I saw like a swoop bike one.
A junior novelization for the young kids and teenagers and stuff. And so a lot of stuff. What else did I see here? That seems to be the main items they put out. Okay. I'm sure there's probably a coffee mug out there somewhere, oh, something like that tied into Shadows of the Empire.
I bet there's one in the, out and, there now.
A few years later, they did The Force Unleashed, which was a similar project, which is a whole other idea we can do for a show.
Yeah.
And but Shadows of the Empire was the big one. And I remember it coming out and reading it, and it fits so seamlessly in between Episode 5 and 6 that you felt like you watched the movie without seeing the movie.
Yeah.
And a big thing that came out with it that helped all that was the Shadows of the Empire video game. And, of course, it was out on the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be out on the PC also, but it doesn't come out to the PC until like a year later because it had some sort of delay. And I know you fondly remember this because for your age, Nintendo 64 is probably one of the first real systems you owned.
I did own a Genesis,
you know,
but the next one that I owned was an N64.
Right.
And that was like... Now that was cool because I didn't, you know, PlayStation 2 had came out, I believe, first. Or no, PlayStation 1, sorry. PlayStation 1 had come out, and then N64 had come out. So,
and did you own Shadows of the Empire?
I did own Shadows of the Empire.
Damn right, you better have.
I had Rogue Squadron and Shadows of the Empire.
Even if you didn't, you better tell people you owned it.
Hey, yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I had Rogue Squadron too.
Mm-hmm. And it was an awesome game. It really did help make you feel like you watched a movie without really watching a movie because of the cutscenes. Right. And of course, you had some cool weapons. I remember the disruptors and the destroyers that you had to hop on. You fired explosives and you had some badass weapons, right, man. I mean, I you know, watched my dad play Quake all the time, and I liked shooters. And anytime you got to, you know, you got to be in a battle, you're fighting IG-88s hopping
Wasn't
everywhere.
It one of the first games you could go from first person to third person?
Yeah,
you could zoom in on dash or pull back. Yeah, that's right.
And if I was running around, like there's parts where you're running around Mos Eisley, and I would zoom out all the time, and you get a really cool aerial view. And then, you know, I think there's one part where you're in the cantina, and you hear the cantina music.
Right.
And then, the swoop bikes, which were hard to control, that was interesting with the joystick.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I could pick up an N64 right now and still have issues messing with it.
Well... The game, as we said, was you controlled Dash Rendar, so it was kind of a side story. It didn't, again, it not like the comics, it didn't really adapt the book, but it had the adventures of Dash and kind of what he was doing to help Luke and Leia rescue Han. And it was divided into four chapters, and the only difference between it and the PC version were sharper graphics, and the PC cutscenes actually moved.
Yes.
On the Nintendo 64, they were just still artwork with words on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me. And chapter one of the game, Dash is drawn in the Battle of Hoth. So this actually takes place at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, where we get to see Dash and how he meets Leia and Luke, I guess, because he's involved in the battle.
Mm-hmm. And you're roping up AT-ATs or AT-ATs, whichever way you want to say it.
Right.
And you're having to go, you know, just like Spider-Man said, if you watched you know, Captain America Civil War. It's like, isn't there a game where you had to rope? Yeah.
And, or you said the movie, yeah.
Movie, yeah. And, yeah, so you have to go in between, and if you go too far out, the rope snaps, right. And you got to start all over again.
And it was the first game to do that. And the cool thing about this level is not only you get to be Dash and be in Hoth, it created an excitement at that level that it's been done a few times now since. Mm-hmm. We had I think one of the Rogue Squadron games had a redoing of that level. And then I want to say there's at least three Star Wars games that have that level in it now where you got to be a snowspeeder and take out AT-ATs.
I want to say there was a Hoth game.
There might have been. I know it was definitely in one of the GameCube Rogue Squadron games. That I know for sure.
Yeah.
And there might be one more I'm not thinking of. You know, like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, one of those games. Oh, yeah.
I always forget about that.
So you start on Hoth, and in Chapter 2, Dash helps the battle against some of the bounty hunters that are after Han.
Mm-hmm.
And you fight IG-88 Boba Fett. And I remember this level being tough. IG-88's bouncing all around, jumping. Yes. You're trying to fight him. You remember this too. It's the same level where you're on the train for part of it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's all red and black, so I wonder if it's on Mustafar.
Well, the Mustafar didn't exist back then.
Ah, that's right.
It's supposed to be like Orr Mandel, the planet that Han mentions, okay. the bounty hunter we ran into in Orr Mandel.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be kind of like that. And then, so you go that, and then in Chapter 3, you end up, Boba Fett escapes in Chapter 2. You defeat IG-88. Chapter 3, you're back on Tatooine, where you're fighting swoop bike gangs in Mos Eisley. I remember the swoop bikes being really freaking hard to control.
They were.
They're running the walls, you'd crash everywhere, but Nintendo 64 graphics back then.
What's funny is that I think even the bad guys were running into walls.
Right.
Like, I mean, so I didn't feel too bad, because I'm like, okay, the computer can't even drive either.
And then the last chapter of the game was Luke and Lando are there with you, and you go to Coruscant, and you fight Prince Zizor, and I guess Princess Leia's... I don't remember if she got captured in the book or not, but in the game she's captured.
Yes.
You have to save her. She probably did get captured in the book. I just don't remember.
Well, yeah, she... Zizor has a meeting with her, I believe, in the novel, and it's like, you know, she takes the bait because she feels it was an easy way to free Han, but she walks into a trap.
Right.
And that's how she gets captured. She, you know, she's naive to the wrong person. I mean, really, the guy's affiliated with the Empire. You don't want to trust that guy.
But, you know, in the history of Star Wars video games, it's still a very beloved game. I don't know if it's maybe the top five, maybe top 10 for sure. Mm-hmm. But people really like that game. And I think part of it is because it was a Nintendo 64. It was right in the beginning of the Star Wars resurgence once with the new figures and the Heir to the Empire books came out. Mm-hmm. And we got the Star Wars video game with a new character and elements that from the original movies, fighting Boba Fett, flying spaceships, things like that. And I think that's why the game works so well and it has such fond memories.
Yeah.
You know, because it was something we had not had from Star Wars in a while, a next-gen Star Wars game. We had Super Star Wars in the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. which was fun, but, you know, this was even cooler. It was 3D Star Wars.
And a lot of people, I think, thought that, you know, from here... You might have gotten Dark Empire, which, you know, I know we'll probably save for another time and go in more in depth into the Dark Empire series.
Right.
But, you know, it looked like, you know, Star Wars was going to go that route. And, you know, maybe we'll get that later on.
You know, and there were some of the legacy of Shadows of the Empire as we move forward from the game. Because that's all I think we covered, you know, anything else on the game other than just fond memories of it.
Fond memories.
And you can still find it on Steam and other streaming sites. It's easy. You can get it for about $5-6 out there. It's very easy to find Shadows if you want to play it on your computer.
Or you can go on eBay and buy it for $50.
Right. Yeah. You know, and then you have to get the Nintendo 64 with it.
Yeah,
which
I know,
is about $60 too.
Even the Retron, because it's like, you know me, I like those clones. Systems. Yeah. I like the Retrons, and I got a Retron 3 for my 30th birthday. That was what I wanted from my wife, and the Retron 3, you know, for some reason there's no Retron 4, but the Retron right. 5, it, you know, it plays the Sega, the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and N64 games, but it's like $150. So yeah. You might as well try and find, you know, a used N64.
Right,
I think you could probably find one for $100 or maybe
if you
80.
Look hard
yeah,
enough.
If you look hard enough.
Right. So, you know, Shadows of the Empire, the game is out there. The comics and novel are easy to find. You go on Half Price Books, you can probably find the comics and the novels if you want to read this stuff. And the action figures, I'm sure you go to a toy show and find those too. And the legacy of Star Wars Shadows of the Empire is they try to put elements of it into the special edition. There's a swoop bike driving around. apparently in the background you see Dash Rendar's Outrider taking off.
Right.
One of the droids, I guess, from the game makes a brief appearance in there. I think he knocks another droid down or something.
Oh, yeah. And he's
from Shadows of the Empire. The 1996 Star Wars Return of the Jedi radio drama made references to Shadows. So they did work it into continuity at the time to give it a legacy. And now, of course, today with Disney buying Lucasfilm, they say that all the continuity was redone.
Yeah.
And none of this exists. But it's a shame because it was such a cool idea.
And it makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, it can exist. It can exist, and it doesn't mess up anything.
No. It's an exciting story. So what do you think, that being said, is the legacy of Shadows of the Empire?
I think it's a... It's a cult following, definitely. I think these new Star Wars fans may not be too familiar with it.
It was 20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago. You know, a lot can happen since then. Stuff happens. But, you know, it's definitely a cult classic and a cult following.
Yeah.
That probably needs to be more mainstream, if possible.
The Steve Perry novel was excellent. The comics are a good read with good artwork. I mean, that was when Dark Horse was doing some great Star Wars stuff back then.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, Marvel has a license. Now they're doing great stuff, too. But don't get me wrong, Dark Horse was at their prime in the mid-90s with Star Wars. Some cool toys. You want Chewbacca as a bounty hunter? You know, seek that out. Dash Rendar is a cool character who I'd love to see. I mean, they brought Admiral Thrawn back into the Star Wars universe, the Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
Where's Dash Rendar, people? Let's bring him back.
I think that's got to be next.
Maybe we should start a Twitter campaign. Bring back Dash.
Start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, Dash Rendar needs to return. So I kind of agree with you. I think the legacy of Shadows of the Empire is kind of a cult status thing among Star Wars fans. Like, yeah, I kind of remember that. And they have some memories of playing the game or buying a figure, reading the comic. But it maybe doesn't have the lasting legacy that maybe Rebels will have for being on TV or the Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're animated series and they're a little more exciting. And I always thought it would be cool if, now that Disney owns them, if we ever got a series of animated Star Wars films, just adapt some of these books or novels that, like, kind of like DC has done with their animated films.
Yeah.
Be fun to have a Shadows of the Empire animated film, even if it's not in continuity, just to see the story. You know, mm-hmm. It would be some fun stuff if Disney ever decided to do that.
Oh, yeah.
We can always dream of these what-ifs in the Star Wars universe, because there's all kinds of things that we would love to see. But I think, you know, it would be cool to kind of see that kind of stuff.
I think so, too. And it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt continuity at all. And, you know, I think one thing that needs to be put in an animated film is that little 15-minute series that showed Anakin in between episode 2 and 3, which was, or what was it before
the Clone Wars?
The first Clone Wars film.
The cartoon, ones that aired for like 3 minutes?
Yeah, it was very short. Well, you get those
on DVD. They're sitting right there on the shelf.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Yeah, I've got part 1 and part 2. Yeah, they're about an hour long each.
And I really liked that. I really liked Asajj Ventress.
Yeah.
And where she, you know, she had Dooku's lightsabers. And she, you know, she did the dual wielding thing, but she still got her butt kicked because, you know, Anakin, you know, was strong with the Force, kicked her butt.
Yeah, it was a good animated series. So who knows, maybe one day Shadows of the Empire will show back up in some way in the Star Wars universe other than just being a remnant of Star Wars history back in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, you tied it in.
Yeah, you know, I brought it all together.
Boom.
Booyakasha, as my son likes to say.
Mind blown.
So, any final thoughts on Shadows of the Empire that you have before we almost get out of here?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it makes me want to go buy an N64 right now.
And play it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've never read, did you ever read the novel? You just remember from the game?
No,
I mean, the book is a good read if you find a copy at half price.
Yeah, I need to.
And it's a quick read. I'm not much of a novel reader, but Shadows of the Empire is an easy read.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun. So, check out Shadows of the Empire, Star Wars, your local books, half-price bookstore. And for those of you who don't have half-price books in your neighborhood, it's a bookstore that sells books half price.
Yeah. You know?
But I'm sure most cities have those kind of bookstores now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, we hope you enjoyed that first topic on Remnants of the Rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
And getting to know me and Matt a little bit. And
some we'll of our continue credentials.
To do that. And please follow us. Go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Click the little button there on our podcast page. And look for our iTunes feed and subscribe to us. Leave us a quick review because that really helps us out. Leave us a 5-star review. I know it's asking for some of your time, but we really need those reviews on our iTunes. If you're an Android user, you can listen to us on Stitcher. Or you can listen to us right off TrustMeImAJedi.com. Go to the link for that show and hit play, and we'll be right there for you to listen to. And Podbean, of course, Podbean has an app that's where you can find our RSS feed. So plenty of ways to listen to Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast, or our other show, Rebel Radio, which is people may be familiar with. And follow us on Twitter at TMIAJ. And me and Matt have our own Twitters, which are linked there to the top of the TMIAJ Twitter.
Yes.
And we're also on Google+, Pinterest. We have a presence.
Yep.
Not felt since 1976. Crotchbook,
yeah,
really?
Crotchbook. Yeah. It's something I'm developing.
Yeah.
You know. No one really wants to see your face on Facebook. Everyone just wants to look at your crotch. It's the millennial thing, I think.
Is it? The hipsters are doing that.
Yeah, hipsters.
Yep.
Look at my crotch.
And please don't look at our crotches.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. She's good looking.
No. Yeah, maybe. If you are a Vulcan or a Twi'lek, perhaps.
Vulcan? Star Trek? Yep. Really?
I crossed over.
You crossed over?
Yep. I crossed the streams.
Damn you, Jim. I'm coughing here at the end of the show. But thank you for listening, and we really appreciate the support. We hope you enjoyed this. Please email us too. TrustMeImAJedi2009@gmail.com. Lots of ways to get a hold of us. Let us know your ideas. Star Wars topics you want to hear in the future.
Absolutely.
Let us know. We're open game for anything, and we love this. We love Star Wars, and we will talk about anything except for things that get caught in Chewbacca's hair, because that can be kind of gross.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Matt, to the people of the Star Wars universe.
Man, it's we're a month out from the first anthology film. We're pumped for it.
That's right.
And I can't wait to see how awesome it is. I know it's going to be great.
We will definitely be talking some Rogue One, I'm sure.
Heck yeah.
And I guess that's all I've got. Thank you for listening. And
this has been Matt.
This has been Mark. Thanks again. There's only one way to end this first episode, and may the Force be with you.
Always.